Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. Today's show, interesting show, if I say so myself. The esoteric purposes or the esoteric meaning of burning fat. Fat burning on everybody's mind. This is a nation of obesity, if not a world of obesity. Everybody's trying to lose weight, whether you're engaged, soon to be married, whether you're middle-aged and you don't like the paunch, whether you're an athlete and you ate too much in the off-season. Just about everybody. There are a few who don't need to be concerned, but most people live in this world of intermittent concern about the fact that they need to lose some fat. And we're not so good at it. We really are not so good at it. We try, and then we fail, we suffer, and purge, only to a month or two later, or a year later, go back to where we started from. Those are the statistics. And I think one of the insights to facilitate matters, to get you where you want to go, is to understand that fat burning is an esoteric process. You can't take the spirituality out of burning fat, even if it's just a few pounds. Because that fat is there for a reason. It's a buffer. Now, yeah, you partied too much and you had too much fun and you couldn't say no. And of course, the holiday season. I mean, kind of, why don't we lose weight during the holiday season? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that between now, happy Labor Day, and the first of the year, that it just might be time to trim down and not fatten up? Many of us are going to fatten up, and we've got all the great reasons to do so. We start with Halloween, and then we move on to Thanksgiving, and then Thanksgiving becomes Christmas. Christmas becomes the New Year, visitors, holidays, and the communal feast and the rest of it. And lo and behold, everything you burned off in the last 4 months, right? May, June, July, and August comes flabbing back on between September, October, November, and December. Can't argue this. For most people, even if you lose the weight, that's the way it goes. And I think what's missing, whether you're shedding 10 pounds or 100 pounds, is the fact that the minute you start burning fat, you are talking to your soul. And that can be painful. Because your soul may be telling you what you don't want to hear, even if it is what you should be listening to. There's a gap between the two, and we all know that. The essence of the man is not who the man is in his day-to-day behavioral pattern. Watch everyone on Tuesday morning, right? This is it. Summer's over. It's even cloudy. We're not even going to get the benefit of that morning sunshine this Labor Day weekend, perhaps. And watch everyone's face on Tuesday morning. The Tuesday after Labor Day. Hey, by the way, if you want to go to Disney World, Disneyland, I should say, that's the day to do it. In case you don't know, slowest day of the year is Tuesday. No one's there. Everyone's accepting the grim reality that you've been sentenced to a life behind a desk. This is a show of inspiration, not here to depress you. Because if you do, in fact, have the fortitude, the wisdom, the strength of will to fast yourself, to burn your calories, to take that blubber off between September and the first of the year, you will, in fact, be doing more spiritual good for yourself than any single thing you can indulge in. Guarantee you that. You want to see spiritual change? Just drop some weight. Now, you've got to bring your consciousness to this. You can't be adult, a clone, sort of a boob. You can't be unconscious about the process. But if you do, look for, stay open to these messages from your soul. As you burn fat, you will understand that you're listening with an ever greater precision to what your inner being is telling you to do. Lose that job. Lose that relationship. Amend that job. Amend that relationship. Start making choices that feed you. Stop making choices from fear and anger and petty jealousy. And start to attune yourself to who you really are, which is where your soul is. Constantly trying to talk to you, but can't because there's so much fat. Get to the website and look at all the seemingly irrelevant pictures I put on today. I put on, what is it here? 32 pictures. Not one picture relates to how to burn fat. Not one. But on these pictures are all the great fat burners. All the great fat burners of our time. No, what I'm saying is on this website today, straighttalk.cc, on show number 380 today, are people who lived a life in accordance to the tune that their soul played to them. And they all suffered because of it. But they all got their payoff as a result of it. And so did we. You see, men of character through the ages have in common one thing. They all listened to their soul. We really call men of character people who listen to their soul. But what's the exercise of it? I think there's no greater exercise than burning fat. Now, fat is not what you think it is, thus the show. Fat is in your head. Fat is in your marrow. Fat destroys your endocrine system. Glandular balance, you know, it's hilarious to me. It saddens me. It's a problem for me that I can have people that come into my place, my clinic, my healing center, my offer to you to really learn what it's about. And they'll come in with all sorts of horrendous problems, things that are causing them issues for decades. And I'll simply say, your back pain, your chronic bladder infection, your fibromyalgia, whatever disease you want to discuss, whatever symptom, whatever ailment, I'll say to them, here is the thing. The most cost-effective, money-effective, time effective thing you can do is lose weight. And they will fight me. They will fight me. It's unbelievable. I'd love to have it on film. people's facial expressions, which, when you very respectfully submit to them that their back pain or their bladder infection or their fibromyalgia or their Parkinson's or their Alzheimer's or their cancer or their lupus or the joint that's going to be replaced shortly or their gallbladder, pending gallbladder surgery, or resection of the intestines for various digestive disorders, their Crohn's disease, their ulcerative colitis, their chronic parasitic infection, their chronic prostatitis, their benign prostatic hypertrophy, their impending focal glomerular sclerosis, their nephritis, their proteinuria, their aneurysm, their pending stroke, their heart attack. We can go on and on and on. Their arthritidity. And you say to them, the best thing you could do, Mr. Smith, is lose some weight. Just lose some weight. And let me show you how to do it. And they flip out. They flip out. They flip out. I've come all the way here to have you tell me to do something that I already know I need to do. That's what they'll do. Smokers do this too. Every smoker knows it would be better if they didn't smoke. So what smokers are famous for doing is saying, well, I've got heart disease, I've had a stroke, I've got high blood pressure, and what do I need to do about this? And you look, smoke two packs a day, and you say, well, I can't tell this guy about smoking because that's exactly what he doesn't want to hear. And so you don't. And that's the lie you bought. But it's understandable because if you do tell someone what they already know and didn't come on in to hear, they get mad. And they fight you. And they don't want to pay the bill. And so social political intelligence tells us, don't tell someone what they already know. Now, you know, the truth is not a lot of people smoke anymore, at least cigarettes. That's the truth. The war against tobacco companies has turned into a moral crusade. It's like smokers' suffrage. People don't smoke. You don't come, you just don't run across it. I mean, like 15 years ago you did, but you don't. All right. Obesity? Forget it. It's through the roof. It's through the roof. So you don't tell people. I'm telling you today that the number one thing you can do, if you're more than 20 pounds overweight, the single most important thing you can do for your health is drop weight. And before you say you can't, understand that you can. Now, everyone's different, maybe. And in the second part of the show, we're going to get into techniques. But bottom line is, I've never met anyone that can't lose weight, ever. And if you think that no matter what I do, I just can't lose weight, you're usually on some acid trip that you don't know you're on, meaning you're hallucinating. Here's one common hallucination to those of you who say, I've tried everything. I just can't lose weight. Everything I do fails. My friends succeed. I fail. Here's one thing. You're usually comparing yourself to when you were 18 and you're 60. But that's just one hallucination people maintain. There's so many. Could you just take my word for it? It's rare that people can't lose weight. And relatively easily. But the reason so many people have trouble doing it, thus the show, is they start talking to their soul. They start to hear their inner voice tell them where their problems are and what they might need to do about them. And that is something people don't buy into. They don't want to hear that. It's kind of simple. If you go to picture number one, I put a quote on. That's straighttalk.cc. I put a quote on by Schauberger, Victor Schauberger. If you want some good reads from a guy who was definitely from another planet. If you really want to get to know somebody that knew what he was doing. That's Schauberger. The Fertile Earth. The Water Wizard. Nature. Schauberger was another level. Victor Schauberger. He was a third or fourth generation forester. That means rather than go to Harvard Medical School, he went to College of Forestry in Austria back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And what he did, great job. I mean, what a great job. Think about your job. This guy's responsibility was to maintain the forest. For people back then that owned large plots of land, like 5 million miles of forest. You know, kings, barons, the way Europe used to be run. Back in the good old days, when food was food, and soil was soil. And Schauberger in the 1890s was still saying we are destroying the forests. That's what's amazing. You get into this guy's books, who was world famous, European famous, German Austrian famous for building forests with an ecosystem that we don't even understand today. You'd have to go into the central jungles of India to find men with knowledge of forestry and soil like Schauberger. This guy was truly a gift. And what does he say? The majority believe, this is picture number one on straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're cruising in your mobile and you happen to tune in to 7:40 a.m. this morning, K-Bright Christian Radio. I am one of their weekend guys, and you're listening to the Inside Track on Health. Something you should listen to, or you will pay. God's children should not pay. It ain't fair. But it's your arrogance that gets in the way. Please understand that. And your innocence. And that you just haven't heard. So let's give us all the benefit of the doubt here. Look, Schauberger is telling you something. The majority believe that everything hard to comprehend must be very profound. This is incorrect. What is hard to understand is what is immature, unclear, and often false. The highest wisdom is simple and passes through the brain directly into the heart. Wow. Let's look at the sentence again. The majority believes that everything hard to comprehend must be very profound. That if it's complicated, if it's difficult to understand, what is unclear, and all these negativisms we attach to the transfer of knowledge, is what people think you need to do to get what's worth understanding. And Schauberger is saying the opposite. The highest wisdom is simple and passes through the brain directly into the heart. You learn with your being. Schauberger is saying that. What does this have to do with fat? I'll tell you what it has to do with fat. I just said something to you today. It's very simple. The single most important thing you can do for whatever symptom you have, whatever disease you suffer from, is drop your body fat. Men under 10%, women under 15%. Now that's simple. The fat gets in the way. The fat binds the poisons. The fat destroys the marrow. The fat builds around the organs and drips their poison in. The fat gets in the way so that the bones cannot align. The immune system attacks the fat through the macrophage, producing a mass of cytokines. And those cytokines bind to receptor sites that mess up your insulin. The fat and what you do to maintain the fat buffers or insulates you from listening to your soul. Now, there's eight things off the top of my head that fat does. What do you want to bring to your symptom or your disease? Do you want to bring all eight of what I just said? I mean, the list of what happens when you get fat is endless. So why do it? Well, forgive yourself. But be honest with yourself and understand you may be under intense emotional, spiritual attack. But as Schauberger would advise, understand that sometimes something simple is just so dead on correct you don't want to hear it. But we can't hear it. Thus the show today. The esoteric meaning of fat burning. Lose some weight. Pick one thing. You're listening to the show today because you're interested in your health. You're going to listen to lots of shows. A lot of time, money, and energy gets spent on health. Incredible amounts of it. If you add up all the hospitals in the world, all the holistic centers, all the doctors. I mean, shouldn't health just be our natural divine right? Not really. I don't really ask you that question in a serious way. But can't we comprehend a world where you don't have to put so much time and money and energy into the management of disease because you become so sophisticated at understanding the basic tenets of health? There. Can't we embrace a possibility that rather than spend the gazillions on the time and the money and the energy devoted to managing disease, symptoms, chronic symptoms and diseases and beyond that, couldn't we just embrace a world where we become so sophisticated in health practice that we don't deal with anything. We don't deal with symptom and disease. We don't have to. And one of the most powerful indices of this is to understand that if you would take your body fat down to where it belongs, then you very, very simply stated would have nothing but radiant health. Now, I know that's too simple, and that's Schauberger's point. It's too simple. Despite, well, the eight things off the top of my head I just stated. But that's our plight. Now, the second half of the show, which I'll post in about an hour on to straighttalk.cc. I am going to get into 20 or 30 minutes of how you can approach fat burning. But it's all irrelevant. It's really irrelevant. I do it for my science buffs, the latest and greatest techniques. It really doesn't matter what technique. What you meet and what stands in your way is your head. And what's at risk is that you just might start listening to that inner voice and you're afraid of it. And don't be afraid of it. because that's where God is. But man is a curious creature. He seeks divine wisdom and consistently chooses to do the opposite. And that's our plight. We don't need to get theological on this show in its regard, but make no mistake about it. The spiritual journey begins with the first ounce you lose. I put on the pictures people who have been through very intense ascetic processes. Gurdjieff, Yogananda, Tesla. Look at the pictures later. All these guys were figuratively burned at the stake after spending many, many years purging so that their soul would shine through and meet their vision. So check the pictures out later today. And we'll see you next week. Okay, part two. Yeah, that's a perspective you got to bring to burning fat. It really is the head thing. And, you know, you forgive yourself about it being in your head. Everybody goes through phases, and this isn't about browbeating ourselves, myself included, for those periods where it's just nuts. But sooner or later, you've got to understand that that perspective is such that you've got to bring it to burning fat or it doesn't work. In short, you're burning fat to get closer to the message that your soul is trying to send to your conscious mind. You're burning fat for the purpose of hearing the message your soul is trying to send to your conscious mind. As you burn fat, you close the gap between the two. Now, from the standpoint of health, I mean, fat? There's no such thing as bodily alignment when there's too much fat. The bones cannot align because the fat's in the way. Just to put it simply, without the alignment, the meridians cannot click on. Then, the fat, in that the fat is fat soluble, and all the poisons, the pesticides, the petrochemicals, the xenoestrogens, the whole horde of these things are fat soluble. More fat means you bind more of it. Now, that's not just the fat under your belly. That's the fat that surrounds the organ, the visceral fat. And so the visceral fat becomes a cauldron of waste that drips at low grade into your organ. You feed poison from the visceral fat into the parenchyma of the organ, the cells of the organs. Bad. We're not really kidding when we say fathead. You've all heard of fatty liver. You've all heard of visceral fat. You've all heard of renal fat. The fat around the heart, cardiovascular disease, the fat inside the arteries. Fat, 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 fat. In a better world, you know, you want to send your tax dollars to somewhere worthwhile. Every 8 weeks, everyone in America gets a week off paid for by the government, and they go to a fat farm to do nothing but water fast. You want to build a nation of soldiers, of warriors? In the name of nationalism, you want to make America great again? Every 8 weeks, everyone fasts water for 1 week under medical supervision, partly paid for by their corporation, partly paid for by the government, and partly paid for by the person. One third, one third, one third. 10 years of that, 20 years of that. Do you know what you'd have for a country? No end to the significance of this. Now, if you're looking at the site, which you should be if you're listening to part two, all these guys on here went through very intense purgings. And of course, I didn't put Jesus on here because I really don't. Then people begin to think I might be equating these people with Jesus, which I'm not. Jesus was God. None of these people were God. Vivekananda was not God. Gurdjieff was not God. Schauberger was not God, nor was Tesla. But one thing about it, they were listening to God. And Schauberger is saying here in picture one, the majority believes that everything hard to comprehend, difficult to comprehend, must be profound. This is incorrect. You bet. What we have done in the educational system at the college grad school level is unbelievable to me. I have to spend half my day taking the gibberish in these textbooks and translating it into something that's so damn simple that you really wonder if the people that write these things are just on drugs, or if they're part of some conspiracy to make themselves look bigger and everyone else look smaller because of the horrible, horrible, horrible translations of knowledge found in their textbooks. My recent peeve is physical chemistry. That shouldn't be a hard subject. It is, because people who don't know how to explain it write textbooks. Schauberg is saying, because it's complicated, hard to comprehend, doesn't mean it's correct or profound. What is hard to understand is often immature, unclear, and often false. It means if it sounds like shit, it's shit. Really? The highest wisdom is simple and passes through the brain directly into the heart. I'm saying to you, if you want to understand what's at the root of your symptom, your disease, one big place to look is fat. And you tell people, you know, you've got about 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 or 80 pounds to lose, and they go, no, what? We don't even know how fat we are. Boxers know. You know, my classic line to people is, okay, how much do you weigh now? 170. What'd you weigh on your wedding day? And, you know, the 60-year-old, the 70-year-old looks at you. Oh, well. And they look at you and they go off into a trance somewhere. And then you get the number, 115 pounds. And you say to them, well, that's what you got to be, about 120 pounds, not 160. And they look at you. They stare into your face as if you're the second coming of Christ, but not in a pleasant way. They stare at you as if, I don't even know what the stare means. But you're shocking them. Why is it shocking to say you want to get down to the weight you were at the end of high school or in the first year or two or college? Why is it shocking to say you want to get down to your wedding weight because you're 60 or 70? That's where you got to go. And as I say, what's going to block that is your head. Simple. Fat is attacked by the immune system. Right there. Fat is attacked by macrophages. The macrophages produce something called cytokines, all the interleukins, and a whole bunch of other terms I don't even care to remember are called cytokines. The cytokines interfere with your insulin metabolism. They cause insulin resistance. They cause you to produce much more insulin than you would otherwise need to produce. So now you can add that. So you're dripping toxic garbage into your cells. The fat is preventing the true alignment from occurring. The fat is screwing up your insulin regulation. Once insulin is off, your whole glandular system's off. What do you think compensates all of this? It's going to be the adrenals. Perhaps I should keep going and point out then that once you start melting fat, you're going to make your liver scream. You get people water fasting, they start smelling like plastic. And the liver has to compensate for all that. The liver's got to handle it and the adrenals. So if the liver's not there to pull it out of circulation, chunk it in the bile ducts, and crap it out of your body, if you don't have that working, you're going to feel irritated. And so you've got to what? Respect the process and get slower. Now, if you want to burn fat faster, number one on the list is regulate your blood sugar. That means you should be living with the blood sugar under 100 all times. Before you eat, an hour after you eat, you want to have that blood sugar circa 100. And you want to be able to regulate that in a fairly good mood. You want to be able to exercise, even in exercise intensely, with your blood sugar in that 100 zone, 90 zone, 80 zone, 70 zone, because your liver has made enough enzymes to allow you to take the fat and burn it, producing ketones, and then sending the ketones into your cells. So when we say ketosis, fasting, ketogenic, cut out the carbs, lose weight, feel hungry and irritable, but get on the other side of it, your body's burning fat, which simply means it's using fat for energy. It's not burning fat to flush it out. It's burning fat to use for energy. That means when you're carb deficient or when you're blood sugar deficient, at some point the body's got to promote all its energetic needs by dissolving the fat, you know, the fat in the belly, the fat in the organ, sending that essential fatty acids, which is what your fat breaks down to the liver. The liver converts it to ketones, and those ketones then leave the liver and go to your cells and whatever cell it needs. Like if you're working out, it's going to your muscle cells and your heart, not your digestive system. So if you're succeeding at that, you're burning fat. Now, if you're doing it too fast, you're going to get moody. You're going to get weak. You may even collapse. You may even pass out. So you've got to do it slowly. So you don't have to cut out all the carbs immediately. You should get versatile with a blood sugar kit, an AccuCheck. Go look it up yourself. Figure out how to take your blood sugar. Everybody does it. The nation's 200 million diabetics are doing it all the time in forums, and it's very easy to learn to do this. But you should be able to take your blood sugar, just like you should be able to take your blood pressure. And you want to get it to the point where your blood sugar is always under 100. But you'll feel this. You'll feel yourself burning fat. You will feel it. You'll feel it when you're doing a lot of it. You're feeling it when you're doing less of it. And you'll feel it when you're doing none of it. You'll also feel it when you're gaining weight. It's a very specific feeling, the fat burning state. So one, you're going to be understanding that you're going to meet your head. And you got to be ready to do that. Number two, you've got to balance your blood sugar. Number three is exercise. Exercise without hurting yourself. The Stairmaster, the treadmill, go into the best gyms with the best equipment. Look at all the different things they have that allow you to do cardio, or find a hill and hit the hill. but some form of bodily motion. And here's the key, where you put on one of those watches that measures your heart rate, continuous heart rate monitor. No, and not those idiotic things you put around your chest that tell you everything from the weather to the day you were born to where to put your stocks and bonds, and then they give you your heart rate. Forget all this. Just some simple little watch that you buy. There's a company, Alfa Mio, M-I-O. It's the continuous heart rate monitor. It's a watch. It costs about $150, $180. I've used the same one for 4 years. And you put it on your wrist, and you measure your heart rate, what you want to do when you move, with a goal of 30 to 45 minutes. But start at 15 or 10 or 5, or just show up to the track and go home. What you want to do is exercise so that ideally you bring your heart rate up to 140 to 150 to 160 in that zone. And you want to bring it up there for 20 to 30 seconds, at which point you'll be heaving and hoeing, and then you rest. And then you exercise again. So if you're running up a hill, if you're walking up a hill, if you're crawling up a hill, if you're swimming, if you're on a treadmill, if you're on a Stairmaster, if you're skiing cross country, what you want to do is engage with enough intensity so that your heart rate goes up for a good 20 to 30 to 45 minutes. And you want to get it up there to about 140, 150, 160. And when you're out of breath, use your common sense. Stop and slow down. And then speed up again. And then slow down again. It's called interval training. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. You want to add that to balancing your blood sugar. Now, there's something you can do when you get strong enough, and that is not eat all day. Just drink water. Water fast. And you don't have to water fast when you're exercising. You can water fast on a day where you're going to do nothing but read books and drink water. Look at the birds and bees and drink water. Be alone and drink water. Watch movies and drink water. Not go hang out at Starbucks or Joe's Pizza when everybody else is stuffing their face. You want to put yourself in a good environment where you feel relatively secluded and do nothing but drink water all day. And when you get good enough at it, you can add that to the workout. So you might get up in the morning, drink water, work out, come home, do nothing but drink water, and get through your whole day water fasting. You will burn fat. The other thing you might do is start using caffeine. Now, caffeine's got a lot of drawbacks. It does. It causes all sorts of anxiety. Some people can't even do it at all. It causes vasoconstriction of blood vessels, which over time is counterproductive. But coffee's a fat burner. All these stupid programs talking about these herbs that never work for burning fat. They are such a crock. I've used them all, bought them all, read the research on them all. So you try everything. They don't work. Don't spend a penny on herbs for fat burning. It's a joke. It's another great herbal sin. While herbs can do wonders for you on so many levels, they will not really enhance fat. I don't care what the studies say. Man, the day your common sense is exceeded, or the day you stop using your common sense or don't know how much more important it is than somebody's stupid study, boy. Don't bother with herbs for fat burning. Use them for other things. Use the adaptogenic herbs to support your adrenals, because that's going to support fat burning, but the rest of these things. Point is, you have to support it with things that are foundational, another one of which is sleep. You have to get good sleep. Whatever your sleep is, that you consider the amount that allows you to wake up in the morning and get going, that is the sleep you need to get. 6 hours straight, 7 hours straight, 8 hours straight, 10 hours straight, 4 hours straight. Whatever it is for you that optimizes you, get it. Because if you don't get it, you're not going to burn fat as quickly. One thing you can experiment with, I've got great relationship with, is using coffee, caffeine. You can get up in the morning and just drink your caffeine. Whatever it is, your coffee, your espresso. But make it coffee, not green tea, not black tea, not the rest of this garbage, yerba mate. Drink coffee. Coffee will burn fat. And yes, you can put sugar and cream in it. Who cares? I don't understand. I don't get it. What are you worried about 50 calories of sugar in your triple espresso for? What difference does it make? The point is, use caffeine in the morning and work out and go up the hills or whatever you do. Then for the rest of the day, don't eat. Just drink water. And then at about 4 or 5 o'clock, buckle on down for a storm, an emotional storm. And you will burn fat. The next day when you get up, you may have more energy than ever before. You may just want another cup of coffee or two cups of coffee or triple espresso. And then you go out and work out again. And I'll get to your second workout, your other workout. And maybe you don't eat for 24 hours all the way into the midday. And then you make sure you eat by the next day, 12 o'clock. To whenever. Make sure you get ample amounts of good, high quality animal protein. Because if you're working out in the state that I'm talking to you about, you're going to need amino acids at some point, or you're going to break your body down instead of grow muscle. Now, I mentioned cardio. That's on one day. In other words, 3-4 days a week, 3 days a week cardio. But then on the other day, it should be 1 to 2 to even 3 days a week. But let's talk 1 to 2 days a week. You want to build muscle. You want to use the weights. And on every day, whether it's cardio or weights, you have to stretch. And I don't want to get into that. I've given you so much information on how to stretch. So you're always stretching. Before the workout, you're stretching in the cool down phase. Especially in the cool down phase, meaning after you work out, after you shower, 15 minutes of stretching is everything. You'll get your biggest, deepest releases from that. Now listen to what you're doing now. You're regulating your blood sugar. You're making sure you exercise. You're using coffee. You're using water fasting. You're not only doing cardio with your heart rate up, like I said, but you're also then going to build muscle. And you're stretching every day in addition. And where's that going to take you? It's going to take you to your soul. And where's it going to take you? To your head. Your head's in the way of your soul. So plan on it at some point. You can start dialoguing with the inner you. That way, you're going to lose weight. And you're going to do more for your illness, your symptom, your disease, your pursuit of longevity than anything you can do. There it is in a nutshell. That is the truth, the unadulterated truth. If we did that, If everybody in America did that for 1 week every 8 weeks and had the government pay a third, your employer pay a third, and you had to pay a third, you're going to have a third of the cost of that 1 week in which you water fast under medical supervision at the community center, at the ashram, in the gym. I don't care what four walls would hold space for this, but my point to you is, if we understood how to do this, there wouldn't be disease. It's that big. And it goes back to Schauberger's statement. The majority of people believe that everything that's profound has to be complicated and difficult. So you can take your ailment and you can run on down to Cedars-Sinai or Hoag or wherever you want to go and have a bunch of guys teach you and tell you about all this top high-level security DEFCON 5 insight into how you're going to manage your disease or you get rid of your symptom. When it comes down to stuff like this, get Schauberger stuff. You won't understand it, but get it. Why won't you understand it? You'll see what I mean. And he's not beating around the bush. He is as direct and simple as someone can be. It's just that it's something else. Schauberger, as I said, was a forester, and he ended up inventing the flying saucer. This is a guy that needs to be resurrected. Over the next number of years, I'm going to go to his institute in Europe and see what they're offering. They're trying to resurrect his name over there. Gurdjieff is another one. Gurdjieff has been in and out of people's consciousness over the years. I loved his quote, but it's picture 13. Take the understanding of the East and the knowledge of the West and then seek. The wisdom of the East and the technical knowledge of the West and seek. That for me has been one of the most guiding statements I have ever come across in my life. Gurdjieff, picture 19, immortality is not a property with which man is born, but man can acquire immortality. That's that longevity thing. That's that Christ thing. Was the resurrection a model for our aspiration? I tend to think so. I think these statements are supported by others. And corollary to that, we do have in the West now enormous interest in stem cells and in defining us by attenuating genetics and pushing the boundaries of our capabilities, of our potentials. And, you know, I don't have an attraction to immortality, but we are a limited bunch. No doubt. To tell people they're limited and that they're finite is really the devil. That's why if you get down to Vivekananda here, picture number 31, never say no, never say I cannot, for you are infinite. All the power is within you. You can do anything. What's that mean? You know, what's that mean when you're worried about your job and your mortgage or a loved one that's sick or a war or a pestilence or a plague? I mean, what's that mean? You got to make your choice and hold your ground. And you've got to understand, people do push the limits of their potential successfully. Look at this other one. There is no other spiritual teacher than your own soul. That's picture 30. Picture 32 is Shiva Bhoripaba. He's like 136 years old there. 136. If you want to look at him at the ripe old age of 112, there he is, picture 18. That is a 112-year-old man. That is not fake photography. That is him at 112 years old. Now, Vivekananda, look at him, picture 21. Vivekananda died when he was like 42. And people say, look, a guy dies at 42, and yet he states, never, never, no, never say no, never say I cannot, for you are infinite. All the power is within you. You can do anything. That's what he says, and he dies at 42. And ignorant Americans find that inconsistent. People don't understand that guys like this or perspectives like this, you have come here to do what you want to do. You're here to do what you want to do, and when you're done, you go. It's not about living forever. But there are mechanisms or there are scientific dimensions that many cultures have attested to that can buy you lots of time. If you need it, if you're 50 or 60, if you're ill, and you don't feel like you've gotten out of life what you want, there's ways to do things about that that are profound and simple, unless you want to get caught up in all the gobbledygook of Cedars-Sinai and Hoag and UCLA and the rest of it. And that's what Schauberg is trying to say. Organized Western scientific technology is filled with shit. And you're going to go buy into it, and then you can get filled with shit and fat, and then wonder why you just kick off long before you're supposed to without having the pleasure and the benefit of feeling truly achieved. So don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, there we have it. I don't have a lot more to say. The main point is you're going to meet your head as you burn your fat. If you're listening and you're putting yourself in that category of people that you just can't burn fat because you never have, even though you try, according to you, really take a look at the show again and listen to everything I've said about the exercise, about regulating your blood sugar, about meeting your head. Because it isn't complicated. Okay, my friends, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.